Welcome to the Triangle Radio Reading Service and Sports Illustrated Kids. I'm Dick Hayden. I'm filling in for your regular reader, John Ivy, and over the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the January-February issue of Sports Illustrated Kids and an article, I believe, from the January issue of Boys Life. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Well, let's begin with something from Sports Illustrated for January-February. Our first article is titled European Adapter. Unlike many of his foreign-born predecessors who entered the draft with questionable credentials but intriguing upsides, Mavericks rookie Luka Doncic arrived in the NBA with a resume filled with MVP awards and eye-popping numbers, and the league is finding out that the skills that allowed the 19-year-old Slovenian sensation to dominate overseas definitely translate to the NBA. And I had a little hard time with Luka's name. His last name is spelled D-O-N-C-I-C with a couple of little things above the two C's, and found out later that it's actually pronounced Doncic. Doncic. So here we go. Luka Doncic found his calling by a process of elimination. He was a striker first, but he moved on when his love of soccer went unrequited. There were dalliances with handball, volleyball, and even swimming. All of these things, I wasn't that good, Doncic says. So I picked up basketball. Or really, basketball picked him. The power of choice has nothing next to the insistence of prodigy. Whatever say Doncic thought that he had in the manner of growing up, his talent spoke louder, screaming to every coach who watched him that he needed to be playing on a bigger stage against better competition. At 8 years of age, Doncic played against 11-year-olds in his native Slovenia. By 13, he had signed with Spanish powerhouse Real Madrid. And at 14, he first caught the interest of the Dallas Mavericks, who were drawn to his game from half a world away. It was hardly an act of discovery. Real Madrid is one of the best clubs in the best leagues in the world. That's a well-traveled road in terms of scouting, says Mavericks general manager Donnie Nelson. There was no moment of epiphany for some canny scout in a barren third-division gym. Doncic played to packed arenas against pros starting at 16. By the time he declared in the 2018 draft as a 19-year-old, he had more substantive body of work against high-level competition than any prospect in his class, perhaps ever. Whatever mystery there was surrounding the EuroLeague's teenage MVP, it could be solved with a YouTube search. Dennis Smith Jr. and Dorian Finney-Smith fell down that rabbit hole. The NBA season is long, and losing a season excruciatingly so. So thanks to a 2-14 start last year, Dallas found out quickly that it wouldn't be in competition for a playoff spot, which led some of the younger members of the team to wonder what help might be coming to them in the draft. The two Mavericks called up Doncic's many readily available highlights, and in the process they deputized themselves as unofficial scouts. Got a lot of size, Smith recalls thinking. You could tell by some of the plays he was making that he had a real IQ for the game. Player comparison is a moot point when it comes to Doncic, given that his road to the NBA is without precedent. Before he was drafted ninth in 1998, Dirk Nowitzki was a little-known prospect playing in his hometown of Würzburg, Germany, for a club that no longer fields a professional team. The last European player drafted in the top 10, the Knicks' Frank Ntilikina, in 2017, was the eighth man for a team in France. No player as young as Doncic has ever dominated the EuroLeague and the Spanish ACB League the way he did, winning two MVP trophies and four championships as a teenager. This may be Doncic's rookie season in the NBA, but it's effectively his fourth as a pro. To appreciate Doncic is to embrace this sort of contradiction. There is so much he has left to learn, and yet there is a refinement to his game beyond what is typical of a 19-year-old. Like a veteran who's been in the league for 10 years old, Nowitzki says, that's how he carries himself. That's been true in the box score as well. Only eight other players in the league have matched Doncic's nightly averages of points, 19.1, rebounds, 6.6, and assists, 4.3, this season. Seven of those eight were named All-NBA last year. The eighth, Blake Griffin, was injured for much of the season. Doncic isn't just the future of the Mavericks, but their undeniable present. When crunch time came in November, about with the defending champion Warriors, the entire offense deferred to him. First, the 6'7" Doncic brushed off Jonas Jerebko at 6'10", 231 pounds from Sweden, for a go-ahead runner. Moments later, he chased down a contested rebound, earning a trip to the free throw line where he iced the win. Through it all, Doncic seems unfazed. I lived with the pressure. Ever since I was 15, he says, I know about pressure. Already, he is in an unhurried problem solver, perhaps most in command when he appears to be floundering. This is his game's most essential deception. What looks like a move rarely is. All Doncic wants is an angle, and he'll go deep in his bag to get it. I mean, basketball is not all about speed, he says. Many of his drives come with a defender on his back, seemingly all over him, but locked out of the play by Doncic's body. This is called being put in jail in basketball parlance, and Doncic plays like a sheriff with a quota. When I first came in, I was super worried, Nowitzki says. Am I going to make it in the league? These kids these days, they just carry themselves different. They know they're going to make it. They know they're going to succeed. If Doncic had any doubt, you'd never know it from his flourish with the ball. I just don't like to do normal passing, he says. So instead, his passes bounce between his legs, fly behind his back, flutter off for an alley-loop dunk. While standing under the rim, Doncic fooled Jazz center Rudy Gobert by faking a pass around the back of the reigning defensive player of the year. Gobert swiveled and Doncic smirked his way to an uncontested layup. I've never seen a guy enjoy the game so much during it, Mavs guard J.J. Barea says. If he does something good, he can't stop smiling, even in practice. Doncic may have been born to play basketball, but he lives to put on a show. We've said from day one, he's almost like a matador, Nowitzki says. He loves playing off the crowd, loves to make spectacular plays. To celebrate his first American Thanksgiving, Doncic will sample some of the finest Texas barbecue. The line to the buffet on this Friday before the holiday snakes through the Mavericks' offices, blending players and coaches with sales reps. Luca grabs a plate, sausage, salad, macaroni and cheese, a Hawaiian roll, and sits with assistant coach Jenny Bouchek, a fellow rookie Ryan Brokoff, who, in his glasses, could easily pass as Ryan from marketing, and a red-headed staffer Nowitzki affectionately refers to as Ed Sheeran. Nearby, a dessert table carries every variety of pie imaginable. There is Dirk iconography everywhere, including at least 19 varieties of bobblehead. The man himself holds court at a long fold-out table over a Thanksgiving feast, just like your uncle might. This is what, in the best of outcomes, Doncic might someday inherit. The Mavs have pointedly deflected comparisons between Doncic and Nowitzki. likely because of the casual cruelty in comparing any rookie with one of the greatest players of all time. Dirk became Dirk because he was given room to grow into himself. He was a shy immigrant kid once, airdropped into Dallas and left to find his way. Doncic is ahead of the curve, already comfortable in his own skin, already accustomed to living outside his home country, and already tested on the court. He's basically made to succeed here, Nowitzki says, and that's how he's been playing. Over the past year, Doncic played 97 games between league tournament and international play. Summer league wasn't as important as getting Doncic some time off. We just wanted to get him away and rest and recharge and come in fresh, Nelson says. He did. He rested, and he didn't miss any meals. Mom sure made sure of that. The Mavericks estimate that Doncic, who is listed at 218 pounds, has already lost between 10 and 15 pounds since the start of training camp. And things will only get harder from here on out. The NBA schedule does not lend itself easily to healthy diets and sleeping patterns. They have to be made a priority. That's one of the reasons I like our mixture of youth and veterans, is that these guys are getting this kind of messaging on a consistent basis, Dallas coach Rick Carlisle says. Doncic is already as strong as it is, but with the balance to absorb contact. A few years of NBA-caliber nutrition and weight training could make him equal parts unstoppable force and immovable object. The Mavericks could take Doncic's development in almost any direction. They began with a veteran staple. We work all day, Doncic says, on floaters. No shot in the game is a better test of a player's body control. It combines the footwork of a drive, the stability of a post move, and the touch of a jump shot. It generally takes years to master. But Doncic, unsurprisingly, has a knack for it. The NBA is very much geared toward taking away layups and threes, Carlisle says. If you do that, there's got to be some in between. With his size and feel for the game, the floater just makes perfect sense. Doncic will never be a straight-line driver, but back roads and shortcuts take him to far more interesting places. The more he meanders, the less recognizable the game around him becomes. Passing lanes warp. Defense rotations grow jumbled. No one, now or ever before, has moved to quite the same cadence as Doncic. He's an authentic original, Carlisle says. He's truly unlike any specific player that I've ever seen. Flailing defenses, lost in translation, seem to agree. Now let's move over to Boys Life out of their January edition. There's an interesting article here about manatee spotting. As it says, it's hot when it gets cold. And many of us may not know exactly what a manatee is and how to find them. But this'll help. Winter is the hottest time to see one of the most amazing wildlife spectacles in the country. Each winter, thousands of West Indian manatees gather along Florida's coasts, rivers, and freshwater springs to stay warm. So let's read on to find out the best places to spot them. Aquatic elephants and mermaids? That's how the article starts off. Manatees are slow-moving aquatic mammals, not fish, but mammals, that are related to elephants. These gentle giants feed entirely on seagrasses and other vegetation. And they spend much of their day in shallow waters, eating for between 6 and 8 hours each day, and then resting anywhere from 2 to 12 hours at a time. That's not a bad way to live. Manatees can eat up to 150 pounds of aquatic plants each day, and that's more than 10% of their entire body weight. Well, what is so exciting about manatees? Maybe it's their size, or their endearing expressions, or perhaps it's their peaceful behavior that captivates people. They're also playful. You might find them doing body surfing or doing barrel rolls. It sounds crazy, but in ancient times, sailors thought manatees were actually mermaids. Sometimes they were thought to be dangerous creatures called sirens, which were blamed for causing shipwrecks. The scientific order of animals, Sirenia, S-I-R-E-N-I-A, to which the manatees belong, is named for these beasts of Greek mythology. From endangered to threatened. In reality, humans, not manatees, are the dangerous ones, because the manatees are slow, often near the water's surface. And because of that, their biggest threats are collisions with boats and boat propellers. Boaters should always obey posted speed limits in designated manatee zones and wear polarized sunglasses to be able to better see the manatees and other objects that are in the water so that they can maneuver around them. Entanglement in fishing gear, water pollution, habitat loss, very cold weather snaps, and hurricanes are additional hazards for manatees. Fortunately, people are doing a lot of work to help manatees, and their conservation efforts have helped them make a very good comeback, as their status has recently improved from federally endangered to just threatened. Because of this, the chances of seeing one are excellent. Back in 1991, there were only 1,250 manatees existing in United States waters. And today, that number is all the way up to 13,000. Now, where's the best place to come in contact with a manatee? Manatees travel great distances each summer. Small numbers swim as far west as Texas and as far north as Massachusetts. However, you're more likely to find them during the summer off of the Alabama coast, Florida coast, Georgia coast, and South Carolina coast. Florida, however, is the best place to see manatees since they are there all year round. The prime viewing season for manatees is from November until April, because this is the time when they gather in large groups, especially in the warm spring waters. One of the author's favorite places to spot manatees is Wakulla Springs State Park near Tallahassee, Florida. Tallahassee is in the northern part on the flat section that goes over toward Louisiana. Sometimes manatees hang out in the swimming area, but the best park experience is a riverboat tour. One time we were leading a tour with an international group of folks who were unfamiliar with manatees, and several of the manatees swam by. As one went under the boat, it released a sulfur-smelling stream of vegetables. Being vegetarians, whoops, I'm sorry, I have to read that again. It's not vegetables, it's bubbles. As one went under the boat, it released a sulfur-smelling stream of bubbles. And that's because manatees are vegetarians, and they pass a lot of gas. I bet there was some laughing going on there. So if you, and once the people on the boat heard that, the entire tour group just burst out in a great big laughing fit. If you want to get up close and personal with manatees, though, there is no better way than to swim with them. And the best place to do that is the Crystal River National Wildlife Refuge in Kings Bay, Florida. There you will find one of the largest gatherings of manatees on the planet, up to 500 manatees on a good day. And the colder the air temperature, the more you are likely to see. To swim with manatees, you need a few things. One, you need a wetsuit, and that's so that you'll stay warm and float well. You need swim goggles and a snorkel, all of which you can rent from local dive shops and marinas. Guided boat tours will get you to the best spots, or you could rent a kayak or launch your own boat. Manatees are curious creatures, and they might come right up to you. So try to stay still, and one might even let you give it a pat. Always let the manatees come to you. Never chase or harass them. Some manatees hang out in roped-off areas within the refuge, which give them some personal space away from people. If that's the case, stay behind those ropes. But it doesn't make any difference if you're sighted, partially sighted, or have no sight at all. You can still get in the water and have a manatee come up close and give it a touch. And what a wonderful experience that would be. We're going to head back over to Sports Illustrated Kids January-February issue and take a look at the end zone. And in the end zone, we have something that's called What's the Call? There are three things here: baseball, and one related to golf, and one related to tennis. So we're going to describe what it is, and then let's see if we've got the call correctly. First one is from baseball. It's called Out of Step. In a baseball game, under Major League Baseball rules, Madison Monarchs pitcher Bobby Daines is pitching to Franklin Flyers slugger Doug Cram with no runners on base. After the first pitch, a ball, Cram steps outside the batter's box to reset. As Cram steps back into the box, Daines quickly throws a fastball right down the middle. And when the pitch hits the catcher's mitt, Cram doesn't even have his second foot in the box and complains that he wasn't ready. Daines says Cram was taking too long and already had a foot in the box when he threw. You're the umpire. What's the call? What's the call? I guess this is where we do the music. Do, 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 do. Well, what's the call? Here's the answer. It is a strike. Cram did not ask the umpire to call time. So Daines within the rules to deliver a pitch whenever he wanted. And that's why you'll often find, generally find, when a batter comes up to the plate, they'll hold a handout back toward the umpire, indicating it's time out, I'm not ready. And then once they get settled in the box, they'll drop their hand, and then it's time for the pitch to legally come in. Did you get that one? Well, I hope so. Number two takes us over to golf. Smoothing over. Jurbon Talib is playing in a golf tournament under U.S. Golf Association rules. On the ninth hole, his ball lands in a sand trap as he walks into the bunker to take his next swing. He notices some sand has been pushed around. Talib attempts to smooth out the displaced sand, which is on the opposite side of the bunker as his ball, and it is not in the line of play from his ball to the hole. A bystander walks up to you, a tournament official, to claim that Talib violated the rule by eliminating irregularities in the hazard surface before taking his shot. Do you penalize Talib for pushing some sand around in an area that has nothing to do with his ball? Well, the answer to that is that you do not penalize him. Talib is able to eliminate those irregularities as long as he does not create a potential advantage for himself by doing so. And that takes us on to the third one. Third one is called net let. We're talking about tennis. Lizzie Perez and Leslie Baker are playing tennis under United States Tennis Association rules. During one particularly spirited rally, the competitors rush toward the net. Perez hits a volley and Baker immediately responds, knocking the ball back over the net. Baker's follow-through, however, causes her racket to clash with Perez's. The ball falls, and Perez cannot respond, giving the point to Baker. Perez complains that she wasn't able to return a shot because their rackets collided. You're not the line umpire, but you're the chair umpire, looking right down across the net. Who do you think gets this point? Well, the answer to that is that Baker gets the point because the rackets are in fact allowed to crash, and that does not cause a failure of a point. Wow. Well, let's continue to test your knowledge of various sports. First of all, let's go with a mystery athlete. Who do you think the mystery athlete is for this month? There are three clues. The first clue is, during the 2018 season, his 14th in the National Football League, this mystery athlete became the league's fourth all-time leading rusher. And clue number two, he has had 9 1,000-yard rushing seasons, and he surpassed 1,200 scrimmage yards in a record 12 straight years, 2006 through 2017. And clue number three, the mystery athlete who went to college at Miami, played a decade with the 49ers in San Francisco before signing with the Colts. He then played the 2018 season with the Dolphins. Do you have any idea who this mystery athlete is? Well, it's Frank Gore, running back for the Miami Dolphins. And finally, the trivia challenge. In Game 3 of the 2018 World Series, the Dodgers beat the Red Sox 3-2 in 18 innings. The matchup lasted 7 hours and 20 minutes and was the longest in the Fall Classic history in terms of both time and innings. Which series included the game that had previously lasted the longest amount of time? Was it A, the White Sox versus the Astros in 2005? B, the Royals versus the Mets in 2015? Or C, the Dodgers versus the Astros back in 2017. You give up? Well, here's the answer. Chicago beat Houston 7-6 in Game 3 of that series in 5 hours and 41 minutes. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated Kids with selected readings from Boy's Life. We hope that you have enjoyed it. And be sure to tune in every Thursday at 10 o'clock p.m. This program is rebroadcast as noted in the Triangle Radio Reading Service program guide and is readily available as a podcast at our website, www.triangleReadingService.org. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. And if you have any comments or questions, please call TRRS at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.